what's his Edward Cullen, right?
Yeah.
Versus Wesley Snipes. Who do you guys think would win?
Wesley.
I'm not answering that. I'm not answering that.
Because look, I don't know much about the Twilight films, but I know that Edward had some powers too now. He might have gave old Wesley a run for his money.
No. No, he wouldn't have.
Hey, what alternate universe?
None. Yeah. Or the Doctor Strange. Only one. Just one out of maybe all of them.
When I was growing up, there were only a few superhero films that I watched very often. Tim Burton Batman, Christopher Reeve Superman, and that's pretty much it. There were some other films that came out in the mid-2000s. Some of them I watched, some of them I didn't watch. I watched Blade 2 once in my high school era, just once. And I remember liking it then, but I never went back and watched it. So myself now, 35-year-old Jonathan, knows that I also liked Daredevil when it first came out. So my judgment back then isn't the same. So I was fully expecting to think that this movie might not be that great, but I will say that I was pleasantly surprised. And once again, I mentioned this on the first review that we had for Blade, the first Blade. Wesley Snipes is literally Blade. It's one of those actors that fully encapsulated the character so well. I think that Wesley really should be in those conversations with Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I mean, he is iconic. And I think that this film further cemented him as that character.
Yeah. In fact, it probably did even more than that. I think it made it so that Mahershala Ali's Blade was always going to have trouble when that was originally announced. Because it's very hard. And there's a lot of characters. You can replace the Spider-Man. I think that's fine. Like, we all like Toby. Some people really like Andrew. There's a lot of people today, especially younger, who like Tom. And I get it. There's going to be hard characters to replace in time. Logan being Hugh Jackman is going to be hard to replace. Iron Man being Robert Downey Jr. is going to be hard to replace. You can make the case Chris Evans as Captain America. Blade is going to be one of those guys. Hard to replace.
Can't take anything away from that. That's very true. Even when they announced Mahershala Ali for that role, I thought about it, and I thought about the Spike TV Blade series. Yes. That Sticky Fingers playing. That's the first thing I thought of.
Fingers.
It just wasn't the same.
Nah.
Just wasn't the same.
Not even close.
But I watched it because I'm a Blade fan, though. I watched it anyway.
I never watched that show. And you know what? Now that you mention it, I might have to go back and do a review. Yeah. Just to crap on good. It.
It's not good.
He got one season and that was it.
One and done. I was really glad to see that a different director was in place for this one, because one of my biggest issues with the first Blade film was the choppy editing. It made me feeling like I had motion sickness at times. I mean, it was just so all over the place. And I wasn't a fan of the way that it was shot and the style of the first Blade film. This film, however, even the special effects, I don't mind. And it's probably because I'm a product of that era, but I don't mind those cheesy special effects that kind of reminisce of the one with
Jet Li.
I didn't think the special effects in this movie looked terrible. In fact, I thought that they were a decent improvement from the first Blade, which had a lot of issues in that department as well.
A lot of people criticize the first big fight scene when they're at Blade's headquarters with the lights in the background, because you could really tell it was CGI on some of those moves. But other than that, I thought the special effects of the Reapers with the mouths open and things like that, I thought that was done pretty well for the time.
Here's a hot take. I think the special effects in this movie, when it comes to the fight sequences, like you were just talking about with the bright lights behind them, where you can tell that it's kind of CG, I think that those special effects look better than the first Black Panther movie when they're falling down the tunnel and they had the suits that were absorbing punches and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree?
I do.
I don't even like to talk about the Black Panther movie because, quite frankly, Black Panther was done infinitely better in Civil War.
Yes. He was Batman. Like, he was no nonsense. Like, I'm not talking to you. I'm not throwing out silly quips. I'm just getting straight to business. And now all of a sudden in the Black Panther movie, we feel like we have to turn this person into Spider-Man, into whoever else. Like, we can have characters that are actually that have diverse personalities. I don't know, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro, did such a fantastic job. A very large imagination, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term. Yeah. He's given us some really cool projects. Shape of Water, Pan's Labyrinth, just to name a few. Hellboy, which we have not talked about on this show yet. He's a very creative individual.
I liked it, though. I like him directing. I think that creativity actually is missing or had been missing in a lot of MCU movies. I defend a lot of his movies. I rep a lot of his movies, from Nightmare Alley to Hellboy to Pacific Rim. Like, I rep a lot. Pan's Labyrinth. Like, I rep a lot of his stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All those movies you just named, I enjoyed every one of them.
I did too, especially Hellboy. Hellboy was always one that I was like, oh my God, it was so good. I love it.
Yeah, there was that one bit where Wesley was on the motorcycle and he pulls up. I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Who was he kissing at? Was he kissing at himself when he saw his reflection?
The car.
Yeah, I thought it was the car.
It's the car.
Oh, okay. I was kind of thrown by that. Yeah. I was like, was he like saying that I'm sexy and I know it?
Okay. It was the car.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and that's a charger. Yeah.
That's a big, like a lot of people that I know, but from back home that love this film, that's one of the big reasons is because of that car. That car is his Batmobile, right?
Yeah.
I mean, actually. Oh, yeah.
It's become iconic. I got to say, it's a super cool car.
The 69 Chargers, just like the General Lee, but just all black, matte black.
Yeah.
Similar to the car in Fast and Furious. I think that's a 1970 model. But
in fact, they can't even find that car anymore because it was a big thing. If somebody sold it, or I think the studio sold it, and then all of a sudden, like somebody just took it, and now you can't find it anymore.
The action sequences are awesome. It's definitely one of the high points of this movie. Sometimes the Kung Fu Matrix stuff is a little cheesy when Nomak is doing it, I think, but overall, it's really well done. You know, this set the bar in a lot of ways. In 2004, it really was a trendsetter, I think, in a lot of ways.
It's Wesley Snipes. He's easy to do that stuff with because he was already doing... How many Wesley Snipes martial arts films had we gotten by that point? It was just kind of incredible, the stuff that he would do. The Art of War was like a big one that he had couple years beforehand. That was his real big martial arts movie, and he just kept doing them, and I think we all were with it. It was one of those, that era of the Chuck Norris's and the people give him flack, but Steven Seagal and things like that. Like, it was that era.
And I think too, with the action sequences and just that style of film, the way it was shot, nothing else was like that at the time, made it really stand out too.
It definitely helps to have an actor that is physically capable, like you're talking about,
right?
Norman Reedus, the most overrated actor in Hollywood today.
Shots fired.
Oh, yeah. Shots are fired. And they will continue to be fired throughout the whole episode because I think that Daryl Dixon is overrated. And honestly, here's an even hotter take. I'm not even that big of a fan of the Boondock Saints.
that's his cult classic film.
That is his classic.
Which came out about a year before this movie, I believe.
When I like actually recognized that that's who it was, I don't know. I think for the character, he's just real butthole-y, you know? I was like, something needs to happen to him. I liked the way he was portrayed, but some of the lines were cheesy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of the dialogue that they had specifically for him, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, they weren't quite as cheesy as they were in the first Blade film, but there was still a little bit of cheese. There were some moments, and we talked about this already on the other review. We talked about that main villain that Blade had in the first film. The same guy that was in Gotham, Donald Lowe, I think is his name. Good actor, but in that film, man, there were some moments. Like, there was one moment where he had, you know, he had his vampire teeth in, and it felt like he was just trying to show them off. And he was like, make him hurt, bad.
That's the time. I know it's so weird. Like, it's we look at these things and we go, what is going on? That 1996-7 really to about 2011 is one of the weirdest moments in just cultural history, because we have all sorts of things that was just a hodgepodge of like, what are we doing? We just kept trying everything, all new styles. Everything was punk rock or heavy hip-hop because those were the two genres that ruled everything. It was like super, super techno, like the Matrix, or it'd be like super, super rock, or it'd be super, super hip hop. And that was what it was. And spiked hair, baggy jeans, everything was all over the place. And Blade, like a lot of movies during that time, and you've said it before, like a lot of these things don't age well because of it. And that cheesiness we thought was actually kind of cool back then. We have to admit it.
Just like even to this day, I still like Seether and Nickelback. I'm a victim of my time, John, okay? Don't judge me.
Yes,
I'm a victim of my time. I don't care what anybody says. They say that a hero can save us was one of the best soundtrack songs ever, okay? I don't care what anybody says.
And that's why people. There's a lot of people out there that disclaim that Nickelback sucks. Now, I'm not one of those people. I'm not one of those people. But there are entire threads of people who are like, yeah, I can't stand this group.
Let's be real. It became cool to hate Nickelback. That's the only reason that 90% of people hate Nickelback. So that's all I got to say about that.
That's fair.
I don't get the hate. I really don't.
Like I said, Katie, it's because it became cool to hate Nickelback. It was at the point where if you didn't say that you hated Creed and Nickelback, you were uncool. You know, you weren't cool.
That's fair.
I'm really good at picking up on sound effects that were recycled in films. I know this is brought to us by New Line Cinema. This is a really deep cut that I'm pulling out right here, but you guys might know what I'm talking about. I noticed that one of these vampire creatures that was in the Nomad tribe, I forget what they're called.
The Reapers.
Reapers. Okay, sorry. One of the Reapers had the same sound effect as Toka and Rezar from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. I heard that. Like, I heard that same sound effect. And I know what I heard. I'm really good at picking up on stuff like that.
I'll give you credit. That's impressive. I wouldn't know.
I have no idea.
Studio, New Line Cinema also brought us Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So.
Yeah, recycled content. That makes sense.
They do that a lot. As you guys know, I'm a huge fan of Superman 4, and I might or might not have interviewed the villain from that film, Nuclear Man himself, on my YouTube channel, but that electricity sound that Nuclear Man had that they used often in that film... They went on to use that sound effect 1,000 different times in 1,000 different movies. It's just one of my odd talents that I have, picking up on those same sound effects from older movies, but I digress. When Blade was toying with Reinhardt, it honestly gave me Doc Holliday vibes. Like at the bar when he was twirling the cup, you know, I loved their rivalry in this movie. I thought it was so interesting and fun, and it elevated the movie in a lot of ways.
It reminded me of the scene from Blazing Saddles, Gene Wilder with the pistol. A similar situation.
Plus, that's Ron Perlman at his best. Mm. You know, like that was when Ron Perlman was like really, really looking the part and kind of, and he's just such a unique looking guy, sounding guy, just overall where, hey, it worked. It worked really well.
He does have a weird face, doesn't he?
He was a great villain in that movie, though.
He was. Now that we're fresh off of Deadpool 3, AKA Deadpool and the Wolverine. I really enjoyed this team that was assembled in the film. And I also didn't realize until I was, as the kids say, I was today years old when I found out that Donnie Yen is in this film, a part of that team.
Snowman. Yeah.
My oldest son, as I was reviewing bits and pieces of Blade 2, like I said, I've watched it so many times. So I was kind of fast forwarding through it a little bit. He said, I recognize him, Daddy. I said, yeah, that's Donnie Yen. My son has seen him in a million things as well. Mm-hmm. And he did the fight choreography for the movie too, for Blade 2 as well.
Yeah, I think he had like goth makeup per se, but like they had his hair and like kind of like a little bit of a spike, and then I think he had like the eyeshadow. Yeah.
His look was definitely a product of the time period as well.
Product of the time. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
The last time that I had the guest on the guest that I had on from the last episode where we reviewed the first Blade film, one of my guests, you know, who's a big Blade supporter, okay, he was like, well, vampires are sexy, man. You just don't get it. You know, like everything that they do is sexy. Well, there was not anything going on in that club in this film that was very sexy to me. Okay. We had people eating razor blades and cutting people's backs open. I was just like, oh God, this is terrible. I hate this.
Yeah, you're right. It was nothing sexy about it.
But they didn't care. They wanted to separate themselves and using a little bit more of violence and everything like that. And that made sense. Sometimes that stuff is over the top. Sometimes it works for exactly what it works for. Blade is one of the few where it's like, all right, I could see it. I don't think it would have worked for anything else that we would have had. Maybe an Underworld, but that's about it.
vampires are not sexy.
No. Okay. It's Twilight.
Oh, God. We talked about that, too. I was really hoping that that topic wouldn't come up. We did also, like, sarcastically talk about Robert Pattinson's, what's his, Edward Cullen, right?
Yeah.
Versus Wesley Snipes. Who do you guys think would win?
Wesley.
I'm not answering that. I'm not answering that.
Because, look, I don't know much about the Twilight films, but I know that Edward had some powers, too, now. He might have gave old Wesley a run for his money.
No. No, he wouldn't have.
It went off to the universe.
None. Yeah. Or Doctor Strange. Only one. Just one out of maybe all of them.
So but true. Like,
yeah.
Out of the billions and billions. Huh?
So, Jonathan, fun fact. I was actually an extra on Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. Because they they filmed it down here in Baton Rouge. Part 1 and Part 2.
Okay.
So the scene at the airport, so cool. you don't really see me, but I was one of the air traffic controllers at the airport.
That's awesome. You shot the film with him, man. You're talking all this crap about Edward Cullen.
hey, look, I didn't make that much money from it, okay?
Why wasn't anybody wearing the sunblock? They established this in the first film. We got the sunblock. Nobody's wearing it. Why? Especially if you know you're going to be using these UV grenades and everything else. Put the sunblock on. I didn't get it.
Great point.
They put that out there to establish that it was there. And like a lot of things during that time, they took it away because it would have taken from the coolness of some of the scenes. That's the reason.
And another funny thing that I thought was just, it just made me giggle. Why in the world did that lawyer come down in the tunnel with all the other, you know, vampire assassins just to show like, oh, it's the vampires. That's who this group is. That's the only reason that lawyer was down in that tunnel.
Because they didn't trust the audiences back then.
Yep.
That's the thing. Yeah.
The soundtrack I thought was awesome. It was solid. Oh. It was better than I remember. Like I said, I mean, I remember things very differently from ages ago.
After Blade 1 and leading to Blade 2, you just kind of knew it was going to be this thumping techno beats for the whole film.
Yeah.
But it fit, though.
Yeah,
it did. Techno, hip-hop. That's what it was. Straight up.
And it was also great that at the end of the movie, you knew that Blade was going to track that vampire down, that one vampire. Such a perfect way to put the icing on the cake, I thought.
Yeah.
This is probably one of my favorite action movies to watch. I still don't know why, but I just enjoy it. I watch it several times a year. It just puts me in a comfort zone. Blade 1 was the first DVD I bought. When I first bought a DVD player, Blade 1 was the first DVD that I purchased. When Blade 2 came out, I remember me and my friends leaving the dorm room to go to the movies to watch it. When it hit DVD, me and my same friends, I remember us leaving campus to go to Walmart to pick it up on DVD. We were playing in our PlayStation 2s in the room, in the dorms. Like, John C. was just part of our culture. It was like part of pop culture at that point.
Yeah. I don't think Mahershala Ali's Blade is getting made. And so I think because of Wesley Snipes and because of that line he says in Deadpool Wolverine. And so I think that affects things moving forward.
There's only been one Blade. There's only ever going to be one Blade.
I will agree with you somewhat. I think that we're still going to get the Blade movie eventually. I mean, they're still saying it's 2025, but that's not happening at this point. There's not even a finished script. So It's not happening in 2025. But here's my theory. I think that Mahershala is out. If he's not already, he's going to get tired of waiting and holding his entire career up. An Oscar winner. And he's not getting any younger. Let's face it. He's 50 plus.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they need to get a 22-year-old to play the new Blade, but someone needs to be a little bit younger than 50, and also someone that I think this is the perfect time to cast a complete unknown. I know you want to have that pedigree and those great acting chops, but for this role, you need to have someone who's pretty.
Yo, what are you doing, man? What are you doing, man?
Because Mahershala, you know, he's just not a big guy.
Wesley Snipes wasn't.
He was cut, John.
He was cut, and he looked good. But Wesley Snipes is like 5'9". Like, he's not like a big overall dude.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be 6'8". I'm just saying that he needs to look bigger on screen, you know? And when I think of Mahershala, he just doesn't have that build.
No, he doesn't. You're right.
Even if he was 5'8", I mean, as long as he had the build, I mean, they can put him in high heels or whatever. This is Hollywood, right? He's just got to have that build.
I would say, though, if you go and look at Alita Battle Angel, where he's a villain in that one, you can kind of see how they would have made him into Blade. I don't think we get anybody. I don't think there's going to be a prominent young actor, black actor, who's going to want to take that from Wesley Snipes when they grew up watching him. and they know that that could be looked at negatively, because people don't look at Marvel movies the same way anymore. They're not like, oh my goodness, instant paycheck. Now they go like, this might hurt my career. That's why a lot of like younger people who could easily be in Marvel movies have stayed away. Like, you don't see Timothée Chalamet or Glenn Powell or any of them like racing, even though Marvel wants them. You don't see Michael B. Jordan racing to be in them, because it could hurt your career now.
Michael B. Jordan was already in Black Panther, though.
No, meaning like he's not. They wanted to do a Killmonger thing. You don't see him racing to come back to like have these big roles and all that. He doesn't care. He would do a Killmonger. He wouldn't do his own major like solo thing, because he saw what happened to him in Fantastic Four and how that hurt his career a tiny bit. But he's Michael B. Jordan, so he made it. But I think people look at that and go, nah, not doing it. Unless they know for certain that somebody is going to be like really good. Michael B. Jordan have Ryan Coogler to kind of persuade him to do it. Who's going to persuade Timothée Chalamet to be in the MCU?
I just don't know that what the MCU needs right now is A-list actors.
You're right.
Honestly, like some of the best success stories in the MCU, with the exception of Robert Downey Jr., but even he was looked at as a slight risk when he was cast in 07 to play Iron Man. Just like with Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, great actor, great charisma, but they're going to have to prove me wrong. I just don't see him as Mr. Fantastic. I think that what they were doing with that is they were casting A-listers. When you put that as a priority over who's really best for the role, sometimes, you know, it works out and sometimes it doesn't. Once again, Mahershala Ali is a great actor, maybe one of the best people that, as far as acting chops go, to portray Blade, but he's over 50 and maybe the best thing that we can do, especially if you want to use this character for 10 to 15 years, is cast a 30-year-old unknown.
Cast Wesley Snipes one more time in a Midnight Suns movie and call it a day.
Here's the thing. Just like Elektra in Deadpool 3, it was cool to see both her and Wesley come back, but they both look so much older now. It's so visibly apparent how much older they are. I think at this point, if you bring them back more, it just becomes a joke. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of where I'm at. You know, they become a parody of themselves. And I don't want to see that happen.
That's fair.
Just like what Robert Downey Jr. said, he didn't want to become a parody of himself. But once again, he just happens to be coming back, not because of $100 million paycheck or anything like that. It's he's doing it for the story, John.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So if you guys had to rate this film on a scale from 0 to 10, 0 being terrible and unwatchable and 10 being perfect in every way, where would you rank it? I'll start with you, Mr. Automates.
10.
Really?
Yeah, really.
You think it's perfect?
For me personally, dead. I think a lot of people would put it. There are faults. There's faults in every movie, but it's 10 for me. And you know how you know it's a 10? Because I'll go back and watch that thing before I'd go back and watch a lot of other stuff. I think that's how people should rate movies for themselves personally. If I had to rate it as like a regular movie, it's probably like a 7. But like for me personally, it's a 10.
Okay, since you gave it a 10, I'm going to throw out my take now, because this is probably going to be the hot take of the chat. Once again, I have a list in my phone, every comic book movie ranked. It becomes more difficult, especially when you start comparing and contrasting to what's above and what's below. I have it at a 5.5. And on my list, it's right below X-Men First Class and right above The Crow at a 5.5.
What? Where's that in the numbers?
Number 55.
Jonathan, look, you can't name 50 better super... I mean, I guess you could because you have it written down, but 50 better superhero movies than First Class and Blade 2?
Yeah. Once again, I mean, it's based off of... Obviously, everybody has a different film opinion, right? We all view films are subjective, but
you're right.
I did see one film that might need to be moved below, and it was Black Adam. But that's the beauty of this list in my phone. It changes and evolves over time every day. What do you think?
This is another episode on your thing, because this is that we need to go through this list and start looking at what exactly is happening. 50 movies ahead of First Class and Blade 2. If you would have said like in the 40s, I probably could have. It's the 50s. It's like, huh?
Yeah, well, to be fair too, when films first come out, they're a little bit higher on my list. I'm more high on them.
That's fair.
But over the years, and you know, I also noticed that Shang-Chi is above Blade 2 as well. So I might want to reevaluate that. But my list is structured, I don't view a 5 or a 5.5 as a bad thing. Really, you don't start getting into the bad movies until you get to the 4.5s and below. Mystery Men is a 4.5, which is still a good movie, by the way, but it's a 4.5. You know, you got the Eternals and the 4s. All film is subjective. You know, someone can watch this and think, oh, it's a 1. I hate this. And some people could, you know, like Mr. John, watch it and think it's a 10. So that's the beauty of all of us. We're all different and we all view films differently. So now we'll move to Mr. Reggie. Mr. Reggie, what did you think of this movie? I know it holds a special place in your heart.
Well, I told you, this is automatic 10. This is my favorite action movie of all time. That's why I'm on here today.
I think that Superman 4 holds a really – you guys are going to laugh, but it holds a really special place in my heart.
Yeah, I get it.
When I was a kid, I grew up watching that movie all the time. You know, my mom had a VHS recorded copy of it. Would I say it's a 10? Heck no. But it definitely, it being a 3 or 3.5, wherever it is on my list, it's ranked higher than it would be if I didn't have that special connection. Same with Blade. I think that if I had grew up watching this movie on repeat, like maybe you guys did, it would probably be a 7 or an 8. But
yeah, that's fair.
Like you said, watch it on repeat. This is a movie that I can consistently watch and not get tired of. Certain movies are like Elektra, one and done. This particular movie, this one, I can watch whenever, because my wife gets on me all the time. What you doing, watching Blade? she would say that to me. If she even hears techno playing in another room, she thinks I'm watching Blade too.
Fun fact, I also have the original Superman and Batman 89 in the 5 and 5.5 range. Some people think I'm crazy for that. But just like with Blade, I appreciate everything that these films accomplished and pioneered for superhero movies, but they just don't hold the same weight as Civil War or an Iron Man 1 or a Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, these films are Dark Knight. These films are just in a different class in my mind. But once again, everybody's different.
No, that's fair.
I miss the movies different. Katie, what do you think?
I think for me, it's an 8 out of 10. Like, I really enjoyed it. And the presence and the power that Wesley Snipes has as Blade is crazy to me. Like, I would never mess with that dude in my life. Anyway, I really liked the slow-mo scenes that they had. Like, when he's walking out of that, towards the end. Oh my God, it's so cool. And I think there were some cheesy line deliveries, but that's why I kind of rank it a little bit lower. But otherwise, it was so cool. The special effects for that time as well is absolutely crazy to me.
Everyone at home, don't forget to check out Mr. Automates, Mr. Reggie, and Miss Katie on their social medias. Don't forget to check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Real Comic Book Cinema. You found us here on YouTube. Thanks for watching. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. We're also on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple iTunes, just to name a few. Until next time, have a good one.